Have you been to Route 66, Joe?
I have not.
It's pretty cool.
Someday I will retire and I will go on about a 1 month American tour.
Really?
Oh, me too. I can't wait to do that someday.
It's funny because I'd like to do it sooner than that, but I don't know really like while working if I can step away long enough to do it. Can you take a 2 week vacation?
Well, I think you can. When I was 21, I went across the country by train and got off different spots.
That's cool.
And then LA and then up to San Francisco and then I flew home.
And you were?
I was probably gone 16 days.
And you were drunk the whole time, right?
I mean, it's not.
You're 21.
Why not? That's a mistake by you, Rhea. Come on.
I did enjoy the margaritas in Arizona. I will say that. I do remember what I remember of it. But Route 66 was really cool.
That's awesome. All right. So let me ask you a question here because you guys know, Seltz, you know, I'm a headline. What's the word here?
Reader?
Well, yeah, we're all a headline reader, but I like to discern whether it is a proper headline or not. Proper headline or not. Now, it's truthful, but is it proper? ESPN.com yesterday. Texans signed former Pro Bowl linebacker Devin White. It's accurate. It's accurate. Wouldn't the better headline be Texans signed scrub linebacker Devin White who didn't want to play special teams for the Philadelphia Eagles and had a problem the last 2 years?
That's not a
as
headline.
As a malcontent?
Mm-hmm. It's a lead.
I mean, John, like this does get misleading. Because you know if you're a Texan, we got a Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. Or at least a former.
If you're a Texans fan, are just like Eagles fans, you're wondering, hey, you know, like, I'm excited. It seems, hey, he went to the Pro Bowl like a couple years ago.
Julio Jones
back when they went to the Super Bowl, he was like the leader of that Tampa defense. So that looks awesome. But then like, wait, what happened last season?
I know.
And wait, hold on. This season, there's nothing?
Like, why is he on the
street? Wait a second.
It's pretty incredible.
What's going on here?
It really is. James, who's going to be in the league longer? Going to give you three choices. Old at this point, Nelson Agholor. Middle age at this point, Jalen Reagor. Middle age at this point, Devin White.
You see the Jalen Reagor play?
I did.
Devin White is young.
It was like the most Jalen
Reagor. But he's like 26. I mean, you're kind of in the middle. I mean,
I'll go Agholor.
I don't know, man. He's
hanging on, man.
Might be Reagor.
Oh, God.
I mean, I thought he was going to be done 2 years ago.
He might be done after that play.
He's still in the league.
How long was Jordan Matthews?
Bumbled it on the 1 yard line.
He's still in the league.
As a tight end. He's a tight end.
That's right. Yeah.
He's in Carolina or something.
Oh, God. Somebody. Poor Jordan.
All right. 215-592-9494. Let's get a lot of calls. We ask you today, you know, as it relates to this Eagles team, right now, are you in or out? Meaning on board. I shouldn't say out, but like, are you on board? It's a better way to put it.
You just said Jordan Matthews is still in the league.
Yeah, yes.
He moved to tight end.
That's amazing.
I saw it at the start of training camp.
He might have gotten cut since then. I saw it at the beginning, too.
The slot wide receiver.
He made a...
The slot wide out.
Yeah, yes. He made a team this year. And I don't know if he's played in a game, but he made a team.
So was this like one of these non-sequential things?
He is a tight end for the Carolina Panthers right now.
James, you know what he probably is? A tremendous, John, help me out. What's that thing, a scout team player?
Like, yeah, because he can play wide receiver or whatever.
The coach is probably like, go, Jordan, go do that. And he's like, sure, coach, I'll go do that. I mean, look, good for him. He was a nice guy, but, man, he was limited athletically. And he started with a burst, and then it petered out. But
he's played in two games so far this year.
Good for him. Listen, seriously, like we kind of got frustrated with him at the end. But good for him. You hang in the
league. One catch, one target.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. Dennis in Newtown. But are you on board with this Eagles team? And if they beat Cincy, if they beat Cincy, will you be? Dennis, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How we doing? How we doing?
Fantastic.
Doing well, Dennis.
Listen, Joe, I want to go back to Monday's show. Mm-hmm. I got to ask you a question. When the heck are you getting married?
What would be a convenient day for you? That's my typical response to kind of. So
what a great response!
I'm a big deflector, so you know I'm going to deflect and try to move the conversation in another direction. So, Dennis, what would be convenient for you?
I don't know. I'm retired now, so any day works for me. So.
God bless you, man.
Oh, I'm so jealous, Dennis.
I don't know, Dennis. We'll see. We'll see.
Hey, listen. I think Rhea nailed it. This strategy you're talking about. It's not foolproof. This guy could get hurt in any game he plays, whether he plays 38 games, 50 games.
I know.
It's just something we've got to kind of put up with.
Well, that's one of the things about the strategy that I don't love. I'm not convinced at all that playing 35 games will make him better in the playoffs than playing 65 games.
Yeah,
I'm not. I'm not saying it might not. It might.
I think,
but I'm not convinced that
I think a guy like Joel, to some degree, getting out there and playing helps self-monitor him. If he can stay healthy, it helps with the weight. It keeps like sort of like the pistons running properly. Like the juices are flowing. That's what he needs. Yet I think this goes against that. And so we'll see how well it works.
Yeah.
I don't know that the NBA is going to allow this to work. I would not. I am incredulous about the fact that, you know, like this is actually they actually tried this. They actually tried to say, hey, our star for our team, a guy who, man, first pick every year at the All-Star game when these All-Stars pick teams, this guy is the first one everyone picks for their team because everyone knows Joel Embiid is the focus. Like, he's the draw. He's not going to play for the first week of the season. But he's not hurt.
Yeah, it's
God, we have really a plan, a different plan than the NBA does. Like, our plan is just it's secret,
but
and
I will,
it's different,
but John,
and
I
we're
will,
just going to do that.
But John, I will say this has been James's point. It's not inconceivable that trying something else is not a good approach. While irritating,
sure, I mean, open-minded to that possibility because what we've done hasn't worked.
But
this is illegal and it's very essence
illegal.
Like as you
you
come out the gate
in league rules it's not legal.
Right. You can't just say, hey, I'm healthy and good to go, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah. No, Dennis, give me your Eagles point.
I can't get behind this team. I'm gonna go game to game. I don't know what team's gonna show up. I don't know if the defense is gonna play like they played last week. I don't know if we're going to get our offense going. I'm really, it's the first year I'm taking it game by game. And the analogy I'll use is in 2022, he kind of knew they were going to win when they came on the field.
Well, there's no question. That's right.
You know, but I just thought, and when I was a kid, the only thing we knew was how much were they going to lose by.
Did you grow up in the 60s and 70s?
I certainly did.
Well, yeah. I figured that out pretty quick there. Yeah,
you did. So, yeah, you know what? And I'll give you my answer on that one.
Yes,
I was behind the eight ball in the 60s
nice.
And the 70s.
That's a good,
good job there.
The
nice.
Eagles. That's a good answer, man. Behind the eight ball. 215-592-9494. And I got to tell you, that's why Vermeil is so – you can make the case, and there's others that are older that could make it better than me because they would know more about the way back. You can make the case Vermeil, I mean, other than Burt Bell founding the organization, is the most important Eagle of all time.
Oh, my God. What he did for the turnaround for that team, I mean
–
you know, I think he did it the first year without a first-round draft pick.
Well, he didn't have a draft pick for years.
Yeah, okay, for years.
And the other thing about it's not just that he improved the team. The Eagles, like, the Eagles' stock in the town went up. Like, the town, we know the deal. The town runs largely from a sports standpoint through the Eagles.
And he infused everything with dignity and respect and belief.
No, that too.
Fire.
No, for sure that, but he just... He just made it a much bigger deal.
Well, he made it, a much bigger deal.
That's the
focus. Go and be the best.
Yeah.
You beat the Cowboys.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, Jason Kelce at 7:30. A question about our show. I want to get to that.
I still have a burning question, Joe.
We will get to that.
A burning question for you.
We will get to it next. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie. A lot going on, including Kelce in 20 minutes on 94 WIP. All right, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook, of course, in part. All right, Jenna Cameron and John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Let's get to our Twitter poll questions of the day. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived. Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question, how many regular season games would you guess Embiid plays this year? We've got it down into four choices here. 60 or more, 50 to 59, 41 to 49, 40 or less. How many games... For JoJo, second poll question, and I do think I'm leaning Yankees on this, in part because I don't hate the Yankees. I know a lot of people do. I don't. Babe Ruth, come on.
Your favorite player of all time.
He is my favorite favorite non-Philly.
Absurd.
He's my favorite non-Philly of all time.
Absurd thing to say.
He's Babe Ruth.
You never saw the guy play.
I saw him swat. He was Sultan.
You can't truly
you didn't,
think
though.
That
you
he's
never
your
even saw
player.
But
I can't even see it. Like you can't even tell what's happening. It's so grainy and far
away. It's a little grainy. It's a little grainy.
You have no feel for the Babe.
60 home runs, 1927.
You never rooted for him in the moment. You never I mean, this is an asinine thing to
say. But
he's
an American hero.
It's asinine.
He's
like, that is the right word for it.
But he's Babe Ruth.
So what?
So what? I mean, it's a candy bar.
Oh, no. God, it was a terrible candy
no,
bar.
No, or is that named after the president?
I think it was Teddy Roosevelt's granddaughter or something.
All right, so second poll question, who would you prefer to see win the World Series?
I kind of like the Baby Ruth a little bit. Like. I like a Baby Ruth a lot more than like Three Musketeers. I think Three Musketeers is the worst possible candy
bar
on the planet.
I like Three Musketeers. Well,
and we're getting close to that time of year. Three Musketeers, throw them out. I don't
understand.
They're
not great. They're not great.
I'll take your Three Musketeers.
Why is it called Three Musketeers?
Well, I don't know, but they're not that good.
Look at it. It's just like a, it's just,
Almond Joy. Chocolate. Terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Almond Joy's got
no
gross.
Yeah. Almond Joy is
gross.
Awesome.
No, you're wrong.
Almond Joy rolls and rocks and rolls, man. Almond Joy is why is it that
you are so sure.
You know what do you like mounds too?
I love mounds
awful.
Also.
But just discontinue it. What are we doing here?
It now occurs to me that the Almond Joys are always available.
Why do you think
my kids
I know. Now I realize.
There you go.
Darn.
All right. So we got a million questions on the table today, including Dodgers, Yankees. But more importantly, Eagles, where do you stand with the Birds? Are you on board right now with belief in this team? And also, John, you said you have a question for
us. Yes.
Lay it out there. Because then I have have a question.
Today I walked in and I blew my nose. You know, like this time of year, got some allergies. I'm not sick. I got some allergies.
Okay.
Blew my nose. But then we're here before anyone is at their desk.
Of course.
It's empty. The entire place is empty.
Completely empty. I'm walking into our meeting and there's trash cans everywhere at people's desks. You know, they have their pictures and everything all set up. It's their desk, though. And they're empty trash cans, like just like one after the next. Is it poor manners of me to just throw my nasty, you know, snotty tissue
next to their desk
in someone's desk? It is
not in their desk, but in their trash can.
It's yeah.
So I would say that's not proper form.
When they show
up for work, it's a trash can. What else is it for?
But that's the thing. When they show up for work, the first thing that they'll see is my snotty rag in their
trash can.
That's right next to their workspace.
Hold on, let me.
It's in their
world. They don't own the trash can.
No, but James, here's why I say John shouldn't do that. And I'm curious where people come down listening right now. Because the type of trash cans John's describing are
open.
They're open.
There's no little,
you can see through
and
to the bottom.
And catch anything from the air from a tissue?
Yeah, maybe.
No.
I don't know about that.
Maybe. Are you serious?
And there are trash cans around here, plenty of them.
Closed.
That are closed. Yes. So if you put it in there, it's contained.
Into a trash bag.
So I would say you should not do that.
I've left that in there, and someone's going to come to work. I don't know whose desk it was, but someone's going to come to work, and there's going to be this pile of just, you know, used tissue in the bottom of their trash
can. We'll find out.
Use a trash can for trash. It's a crazy thought.
215-592-9494. What's the right protocol there? Let's talk to Doug right now. Doug, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
It's going well, Doug.
I think you could just throw those tissues right in the trash can. No big deal.
What, really? Anyone's trash can? This is someone else's trash.
Like that person's going
to
sit
right
there for 8 to 10 hours.
Like they're going to be smelling that whatever's in there. Like their lunch that they if they throw that away in that trash can, they'll smell it for the rest of the day.
I don't know if
it's that close.
I don't know if they smell it, but I think it could affect their health.
I was totally fine with you earlier, John, but the way you keep describing it in detail is making me more nauseous as this goes on.
As someone's eating like Rice Krispies back home right now. All right, Doug, what do you got on the Eagles?
All right, so I'm definitely not all in yet. I think this team, you know, when you look back at kind of 2-3 years ago, they're a front runner team, and until we start scoring early, I get really concerned about our defense facing a good quarterback. You know, we have this kind of bend don't break style defense where we give up a lot of yards and we hope to go field goal.
Luckily, we're about to find out what we look like against a pretty good quarterback. And I personally, Doug, I'm excited for this showdown. This is Cooper DeJean. This is Quinyon Mitchell going up against, some guys who are probably much ahead of that. They need to be precocious. They need to be ahead of schedule to be able to hang with T. Higgins and Chase.
Really,
this is going to be a showdown that's a major challenge.
It's fun.
That they need to rise up and play over their heads to be able to stop these guys.
And, Doug, here's what I'll say. So, John's describing this game, but bigger picture within the season. I could see the Eagles blitzing more in the second half of the year to try to get home to the QB. Maybe not against the Burrow. But, you know, with Quinyon Mitchell and Darius Slay and Cooper DeJean, like, you got some guys that we think can cover pretty damn good. And
it's certainly going
to
help out.
There's something to be said for trusting them and giving the Nakobes of the world and the occasional safety blitz a little bit more of a go at the quarterback.
Yeah, I think going into this season, the secondary was one of my biggest concerns. And oddly, now I'm mostly concerned about our defensive line. So I tend to agree with you. I think our secondary has, you know, from my opinion, built some trust with me. So I'd love to see them.
Yeah, they deserve it. I think Gardner Johnson's probably been the shakiest back there this year, which is funny because he's probably the second highest paid.
Well, I think they're going to try to take advantage of Reed Blankenship. I think they're going to try to take advantage of Cooper DeJean in the slot. You know, these are guys.
With T. Higgins in the slot.
Well, it's a tough matchup. Like, it doesn't mean the Eagles stink if they give up yards to that receiving group. That's a tough group.
Who would you rather have in the slot? Would you rather have a linebacker or would you rather have Cooper DeJean? Like, we're trying to compensate for what they do. It's just really hard to have a guy, your third best cover cornerback, be able to hold up with a two-way go in the slot.
And, Doug, I think they're going to be better moving forward with Avante not on the field. And that's a shame because I love him. He's been a good Eagle, but... You know, I think we saw diminishing returns here. Doug, give me a big answer, a number and a phrase.
All right. So you think back to Nick Sirianni, who I think he's a good coach. You know, he's always done a good job of fixing problems, and he always gets you back to square one.
Nice. Square one's a good one.
I like people using it in context. This is good work.
I like that, too. Square one is a classic. It's funny, when I thought of Philadelphia sports and he started talking about, I could tell he was going somewhere, I started thinking about AI used to say this, that, and the third.
You did.
Which would be another one.
That's a great one.
Again, so where does square one come from?
It's a good question.
Square one.
Like the beginning, obviously, so it's got to have something to do with their multiple squares.
I don't know.
First square.
That's a good question. We're looking for a number in a phrase. Best answer, whoever provides it today, and there are so many answers available still. You're going to win the Sarah Silverman tickets. By the way, speaking of answers, I need an answer, not only John from you, James and Rhea, but everyone today, if you can. I mean, if you go back, as far as back with our show as you go, I'm curious on this, the 8-year anniversary.
8 years.
Of us, you, John, you, James, and me having a show together.
Eight years ago, we put on one of the worst shows in the history of WIP.
It was horrible. And we were pretty bad, for about 6 months.
I had no idea bad either.
This was
so bad, John.
It was horrible.
Back then, this was
horrible. Horrible.
You guys didn't even ask me, like, hey. Let's plan what we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
today.
There was a reason we didn't ask you.
Yeah, there definitely was.
What the heck, man? I didn't even know.
Exactly.
Yeah, John, there's a lot John
you
didn't know.
You learn quick now.
And then, of course, you know, Rhea and Devin and the whole thing that the show's now become over the last roughly 2 years in the morning show. And we love doing it. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. But it's now been 8 years since we joined WIP back in 2016.
Happy anniversary, guys.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Rhea.
I wish I would have known. I would have baked a cake.
You would have baked a cake.
Yeah, you would have.
Saved you the time. I'm happy we didn't tell you.
So here's the question. Favorite moment in the 8 years we've had a show together? Now, I mean, there's a lot that goes through my mind, and I'm not quite sure off the top of my head. Favorite moment. James, do you have one that immediately pops to mind for you?
Yes, I have a very clear number one moment, and it's not just because of our show, but to open the show with We Are the Champions. And, you know, we had the Joe D. Where we go? There we go. Like, to be able to be on the on WIP the day after the Eagles won their first Super Bowl is the biggest thrill of my career, my life, whatever.
Yeah. No, okay, that's, John.
You can't beat that.
You think that's it?
It was everything that rolled into that.
Because it's
it
not
was the
funny,
night before
but
me. I was there with Jimmy.
We watched it together.
And
I know.
And then rolling out into the streets of Philadelphia, just feeling that with everyone, man. That was magnificent.
So it's funny, my instincts didn't go there.
You went to the humor?
Well, there's nothing funny about that. It's great. There's just nothing funny about it. And normally people, like, what people bring up to me on the street the most is just the ridiculous stuff.
Sure. The hardest I ever laughed on the air, because the chicken wing, two times, Chicken Wings was a Facebook Live show. And when you cursed the first time, that's the hardest I've ever laughed.
That was another one. Well, look, now, Rhea, you were a listener to our show for 6 years and part of it for
James
two.
James knew. I used to text him all
sure
the
did.
Time, like,
do you
repeatedly.
Have a, do you have a favorite moment through the years?
Of you.
Okay.
And James plays it all the time, because I remember I almost drove my car off the road.
Uh-oh.
I'll be right back. I literally have to go to the bathroom.
Got to go to the bathroom.
I'm going
to
step away for a moment. Literally to go to the bathroom.
I was like, is he serious?
I mean, I was dying.
So how many times have you come close to saying that?
Not like, many, because really? I don't really eat before the show.
Joe's also good about getting it done in a break, I'll say.
Yeah, I'll text him. I'll call him. How many minutes do I have left?
I'll get the call while we're in a break from Joe to Cameron. I'm like, uh-oh, I know what's happening.
Rhea, do a long update.
Yeah. how many minutes? How many minutes do we're back? Four
Seriously?
Minutes? 2 minutes? So I got
like,
30 seconds?
Wow.
You know?
Secret.
All right, but I do want to throw out to everyone listening, favorite moment, and again, more than anything, just want to say thanks to everyone who listens to our program, because obviously 8 years has been a real pleasure. We love doing it. We expect to, you know, hopefully do it for a long time moving forward. And
did you say? Once upon a time, you said it was 37.
37 years. I said that on the first show.
Really? So
but remember, you said the first show was the worst radio ever created.
It was pretty bad, John.
Also.
It was pretty bad. It
John's
was.
Best moment for me was when he went completely postal on Ben Simmons.
I don't remember
I enjoyed that.
Oh my God, you know what's so funny? Is I just checked with some callers to see if they had them. That was Drew and Westchester's answer.
Wow.
That's what Drew was like. The first thing that popped in my head was when Joe lost his mind about
no,
Ben Simmons.
No, he said John. She said John.
Oh,
no,
she
John.
Was talking about when you lost your mind about Ben Simmons.
Oh, I thought you said John.
No. No, that made Ben, I mean, Drew can keep that. No, I'm talking John went off one day.
I don't remember that.
Oh, I do, because John doesn't normally go off.
Okay. No,
I remember
I
you going
well,
off.
I remember
like,
that too.
Volcanic.
I think one of my favorite Johns was the conversation with the model last year. What's her name?
Oh my God, with, Cindy.
Cindy Margolis.
Cindy Margolis. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you. Oh, Cindy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, I don't know if I did this yet, but thank you.
By the way, Cindy, just to be clear, thank you,
thank
Cindy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
John's loving this.
He's gonna kill somebody.
I will crush your face.
215-592-9494. Jason Kelsey will join us shortly. By the way, he's been a longtime listener to the show, so we'll see if he's got an answer through the years. As he's walking around. Yeah, bring Jason
walking
in.
Walking in right now.
Let's bring him in here. There's a lot going on, including a football team at 4-2, a basketball team at 0-1, a hockey team that might finish 175-5?
Going to the draft.
6?
Oh, they'll get more ties than that, Joe.
They want more ties than that. Are they going to win 20 games this year, the Flyers?
Honestly, I have
Holy
no idea.
Holy hell. All right, let's welcome in. He's going to be a Hall of Famer in about, I guess they'd call that 5 years. And we love having him in studio, Mr. Jason Kelsey. Good morning, Jason.
How's it going, Joe? Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you, sir. As, of course, Jason is always brought to us by, as I flip through my pages here, Garage Beer, which, by the way, is not just any beer. It's, you know, Jason's beer. The garage is always open. Light beer like it used to be, find Garage Beer at your local retailer or drink garagebeer.com, official beer of the Kelsey brothers and dads everywhere. How you been, Jason?
Doing great. Happy to be back this week.
You enjoy seeing your buddies out in Ohio?
Heck yeah, man. Traveling all over the place, you barely get to see a lot of the people that you kind of have grown up with or went to college with, so it was awesome to kind of reconnect with a bunch of those guys.
Good for you.
Yeah. Had a lot of fun.
It is. We think, man, I used to think that what a great gig doing games, getting to do the one day a week thing. It's not one day a week.
Yeah.
Right. Is it? I mean, it feels like you must be nonstop moving, yeah. moving.
Well, I have a bunch of other things outside of that too, between the podcast, that, and like I'm kind of getting all sorts of things. And then on top of that, to do that job on Monday, you really have to stay plugged into the NFL landscape.
Sure.
So it's a full-time gig for sure.
Absolutely.
I think if you want to do it well, I mean, just about anything in this world, it doesn't matter what it is. If you want to be good at it, you're going to have to put time in, and it's the reality of it.
Totally. You know, one thing that's always struck me about national broadcasters, there's some stuff that can go, let's say they're talking about, I'll just pick a team, the Rams. Stuff can go over our head. You know, we might not be hardcore knowing the Rams, sure. but there's a couple million people out in Los Angeles that know. If you're wrong, they know.
Dude, I've thought about this so many times.
And we know that here.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
it's really,
right.
and it's really hard to know
at
the level that the fans know. They're always going to be like, well, that's not quite true. That guy was better in practice. That guy, you know, it's
because
hard.
Because, listen, you can't actually possibly watch every play of every game. Like, every play.
Some guys do. I mean, like,
Collinsworth, maybe?
Orlovsky and some of these guys are really watching every single play. And I try to watch as much as I can, especially the matchups that are really worth focusing in on, all 22 copies, and really dig in. But to do that, I mean, if I really want to sit down and watch an offense and watch a game that happened and like really write down notes, like that's like a 3-4 hour deal to like do that well, like the way I've done it my whole career, right? So like, it's a watered down version, even if you are watching the plays.
Jason, let's talk about this team. And again, Jason in studio with us for an hour and fielding phone calls at 215-592-9494. And coming up shortly, I want to get to something Nick Nurse said last night, which I thought put better context on the Jewell situation. You can be the judge if you like it or not. But what Nick Nurse said, we'll get to shortly. Of course, if you want to react to the Sixers' loss last night, and, you know, they didn't have a ton of a shot without Jewell and Paul George. But, Jason, this team, so it was a good win the other day. There's no question. It was a thorough win. It was a convincing win. I think the thing we're all trying to figure out is, have they actually become good, or did just a 2-2 team become 4-2 because they did probably play two of the five worst teams in pro football, Cleveland and the Giants? How do you balance out who they played versus what we hope they've become?
Yeah, I think, obviously it's always good that you're winning. The Browns win, not very impressive at all, right? You're playing a team that's struggling. But I think you try and look at things of, like, are we improving in the areas that we've kind of struggled in? And it's hard to know on defense because the last two offenses have been so bad, especially at the quarterback position. They aren't really, like, playing at a high level right now for multiple reasons. But I think they're playing really well against bad quarterbacks, which is better than playing mediocre against bad quarterbacks.
That's right.
True.
Which a lot of defenses do sometimes.
But the question is, are those young pass rushers, are they actually getting better? Or are the opponents just, you know...
Yeah, because we have seen them in the last 2 weeks. We've seen Sweat get a sack.
Yeah.
I think we saw Huff.
We saw Jalix Hunt get
got a sack. Yeah, I mean...
And is that real?
They're playing better the last couple weeks, but they're also getting into pass rushing situations, right? They're staying, they're getting into third down and long. We're getting ahead in points, so they're getting more opportunities. So I think that with more opportunities, they look much, much better. Bryce Huff and all these guys, when they know they can pin their ears back and get after the quarterback,
that's the sad truth. It is just so common sense. Yeah. It really is. Football is pretty straightforward. When you get ahead, you get a lead. You start pass rushing, guys get sacks.
No, it's good. It really
all
is.
Works.
But I think that as a whole, I think the defense has looked much better these last 2 weeks. This is a really big test for them. Joe Burrow's playing out of this world.
Yep.
They're not as good and from a running game perspective, but it's a good test for the secondary and for the pass rush. Their line isn't good at run blocking, but they do protect Joe pretty decently. So
does it feel like our defense has an identity? Like, we talk about our offensive identity all the time. Are we going to run the ball? Are we going to throw the ball? Can you sense a defensive identity yet, other than we like to send a gap pressure every once in a while? I mean, that's sort of boring.
I mean, when I think of like an identity, I usually think of like the defensive coordinator, and maybe that's just because of the way I usually prepared was like, you know, you're getting ready for, okay, this is the fronts he likes to run, this is the blitzes they like to do, and I think Vic does what he does, right? He's done that his whole career. He believes in things. He's very convicted as a defensive coordinator. I think that the identity that I think the Eagles are starting to develop is like they have a defensive line that can be very physical and very good. I don't know, pass rushing wise, they've proven the last couple of weeks in pass rushing situations they can be effective. I think the secondary, although, you know, we had some games early with, you know, Tampa Bay and, you know, Falcons, like I think they're now playing more aggressive. They're and I think some of that maybe is some calling things. I don't want to, like, I don't know that for sure, but it just feels like they're in guys' face more. Like there's a, you know, Malik, you know, Quinyon Mitchell's in Malik Nabry's not playing off, right? Which I think takes away sometimes some of those easy, you know, completions that we saw earlier in the season. So
are those guys, those young guys, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, when you look at them play, are they super ahead of schedule to your expert eye? You know, like these guys are out there. We're asking them this week to cover some of the best wideouts in America, in the world, for that matter.
Yeah.
How do they hold up?
Well, we will see this week. This is a big test, right? I think that they've held up really well to this point in the season for the most part. I am an expert on football. I am not an expert at engaging defensive backs. I will put that out there right now. Like, if I'm scouting cornerbacks, we're in a bad situation.
That's good.
I do think that, you know, Quinyon has played at a really high level for a rookie. And generally, when the buzz of like every major media outlet is saying this kid's doing a really good job, which is what they're saying, it's usually pretty true. Cooper obviously didn't start early on. Now he's playing, looked good in the first start this past week. So we'll see how, you know, he continues to move along.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you this, John, your question about defensive identity, because it's an interesting one. So as you two were talking there, my thought was not. So you're talking about style of defense and, you know, that. I think the identity isn't as much about style. I think it's more about just, for the most part, a ton of young players to see how they develop over the course of a season. And I know that's not what you were going for, because you're talking about how do they play stylistically. But if you really go through it, there's very few guys that are past their first contract. Gardner Johnson and Slay and Sweat, and obviously Brandon Graham, but he's a part-time player. I mean, you really go through the young guys. Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Quinyon Mitchell, Reed Blankenship in year three, Cooper DeJean, N'Kobe Dean, the other linebacker.
Well, Bond's passed his first contract.
Okay, Bond. Yeah. But it's not much of...
The other linebacker.
I forgot his name.
Come on, man.
Has he made a play since week one?
He's been pretty good.
This guy's Mike Singletary week one.
He had a sack last week, didn't he?
All right, settle down. Let's go to the phones. The other guy. I still don't know the name of the punter. I call him... What is the name of the
punter? Braden Mann. He's the best. Okay. We've been waiting to have a punter forever. He's great. He's the best punter since Donnie Jones.
Donnie Jones. Who was what, James?
A weapon.
He was a weapon. Donnie Jones was a weapon. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. All right, let's talk to Drew in Westchester. I want to get to this Nick Nurse audio soon as well. Drew, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, folks. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Jason, always good to talk to you. I know in retirement, you've kind of made a name for yourself sometimes having non-football takes. I know you did something about, like, soap and all. I'm just curious, do you have any, like, major Thanksgiving opinions? You know, I was thinking about maybe pivoting to like brisket from turkey this year. Do you have any like hot Thanksgiving takes at all?
Man, brisket. Man, that's pretty un-American.
Why do you roast a giant pig on the spit?
It's un-American and American at the same time. I don't know how it works, but that's awesome.
Brisket's great.
We were never a big turkey household.
Really?
I think part of that, like, my mom was a great cook. We had a lot of dry turkey. I'm going to be very honest.
Well, hold on. If your mom's a great cook.
Are you ripping your mom right now?
Did not see this coming today.
I'm just being
poor
honest.
Donna.
Like, I think turkey is a very hard thing to make.
We do roast chicken in our house.
Kylie's giving me crap about this. I bought a turkey fryer last week.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I'm done with not
They're
making
great.
This thing delicious.
Because
the only good turkey I've really ever had is fried turkey.
Yeah, no, you and nail it every time.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to mess it up. Put a bunch of peanut oil in there, lather it with butter.
It can be dangerous, Jason. Be careful. Yeah.
So what you're saying is your mom messed it up. That's what you're saying.
I mean, I think the oven messed it up.
All right, Drew, what do you got on the birds?
I did not mean for Donna to catch a stray.
It was the oven's fault. Seriously.
So on the Eagles, Joe, I'm definitely, you know, I'm not over the fence, but I think I'm higher up on the fence than you. And I think, I know their record's not great, but I think this Bengals team is pretty good. So I think, you know, if Eagles win this Sunday, I'm definitely on board. My big reason, I know, I feel like I'm a little bit in the minority here, but I believe in the head coach. Like, these players seem like galvanized to me behind him, and what happened a couple weeks ago, you know, reminds me a little bit of like the flower speech in 2021 where like Nick got ripped, but the players, you know, like jumped on his back. So I think there's X's and O's reasons to believe too, but yeah, I'm still a believer in Sirianni here.
I get the comparison. All right, Drew, favorite show moment. What is it? 8-year anniversary today. What is it?
So I told Seltzer you screaming about Ben Simmons, but there was one on a like serious note too that I just thought of. I remember, I think it was during the Super Bowl run, you guys had a Times Yours caller. Mm. I think his name was Vaughn.
Vaughn in Maryland, yeah, dude.
We got to play that.
And you could just tell, like, I think it was like maybe after the Falcons win where he was just like in tears, and you could just tell, like, through the call how much it meant to people.
Well, the one that stood out was when the Super Bowl was won, his call that next day. We'll play that in a second. Drew, give me a great answer for the Sarah Silverman tickets. A number in a phrase.
You got it. I'm going with 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, 15 great minutes answer. Of fame. That is a good answer. All right, so Seltzer will dig up some of this audio as we go. Let me, before we get to that, I want to get to Nick Nurse. And Jason, get your assessment of the Joel thing.
Yeah.
So, look, we obviously were very critical of the Sixers yesterday, and I totally believe rightfully so. But I did want to pose today the question to everyone. While their rollout of what the strategy is, how they communicated it to the public was poor, okay, very poor. James, you have made the point that you think there is logic behind the strategy of playing Joel less or a lot
absolutely.
Less. So I just want to ask the question to everyone, did we lose sight of having that conversation yesterday? And you don't love the strategy, because ideally the player would just be able to play 75 to 82 games, you don't have to worry about it. Given the fact that Joel clearly can't, are you okay with them trying something different, perhaps drastically different? Now, I asked that to you by way of saying, let's play some audio of Nick Nurse. I thought yesterday he described things a lot better than he did 2 days ago. This is an exchange with two different reporters. Let's listen to Nick Nurse yesterday.
In the last 24 hours, so to get on the chin for former players, media, for not wanting to play back-to-backs, for not being available on opening night. How much of that is him dictating his schedule, and how much of that is you, the front office, sports science, Daryl, everyone else?
Yeah, I think it's really a collective effort. I think if you want to point fingers at any one particular person, that's not going to happen. I think our medical is first and foremost. Joel is there, our front office, myself, everybody's weighing in to make, you know, what we hope is a better plan than it's been, right? Like, we're just trying to get him. There's been very few playoffs where he's felt very good going into them, and we're just trying to do something a little different and get him there this time.
So is that the reason he's not playing in these first three games? Is the part of the plan not because he's still dealing with that injury or re-injured himself during the Olympics?
The plan is why he's not playing, yes. He did not re-injure himself. But the plan is we don't feel like he's quite ready, strong enough, light enough, whatever it is that they've determined that he's not quite ready to go, hasn't been in any full court scrimmages, etc. And that's the plan.
All right, so it's a much more coherent answer than he had previously given.
A lot more there. When you say he's not strong enough, he's not light enough.
Yeah.
Now we've got some parameters, I guess, that sort of make sense, maybe.
Well, you
like
don't.
I can get my head around.
Here's
this,
what you don't love about the answer. You would hope in the last month and a half he would have prepared for the season, so he was.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. By the way, the fact that you're not weight-wise the right way. Like, they can fine you in the NFL, whatever it is, $1,601 per pound per day. What is it now? Do you know what the fine is per pound per day?
Luckily, they couldn't fine you for being underweight.
But Jason, they could criticize you in 2016 for being underweight.
Yeah, I got tons of criticism, but not a lot of fines for that.
All right, Jason, what do you make of the? So you've been here, obviously, the whole time Joel's been here.
Yeah.
You know all the twists and turns. You're a hardcore Philly sports fan. What do you make of the whole thing? The strategy, the firestorm, the whole thing?
Well, first of all, the strategy should be to try and improve the usage and playing time of Joel to maximize him during the postseason, because that's the only thing that really this Sixers team is trying to prove left. Like, if they don't make it there, it's a colossal train wreck. But Joel has obviously played unbelievable in the regular season. He's been, arguably the best player in the league, I think. And I think he's in the postseason is where things have kind of fallen apart, not just for him, for the team. So that's their focus, and I think that should be their focus. What's unique about this situation is I don't, like, typically with rest, you're talking about, like, after a guy's been through, like, a grueling schedule or, like, they're wore down, so we're going to give them some time off. This is, like, to open the season.
Yeah.
That's what's really just hard to wrap your head around, and I think that there's got to be something that is causing them to give him rest, because you wouldn't just do it with a guy who's completely fresh.
You can't do it.
John, let me give you a theory.
You can't do this. Like, our job, not even our job, a professional athlete's job is to go and play his sport. Like, that is what you sign a contract to go do. Yeah. I can't get over the fact that they're telling us there's nothing wrong with them. They're trying to tell us there's nothing wrong with him, yet he is still not playing in the season opener.
Yeah. All right, let me give you a theory. It struck me last night because, we're all trying to make sense of this, and I'm not saying I'm happy about it, but I'm trying to rationalize it a little bit. So what do you make of this theory that Joel, when he gets injured, and like the actual injury, like a real injury, it typically happens in the spring? Or approaching the spring, late winter, spring, after he's played for 2 to 3 months and he's stretched his legs, to use an analogy of like he's played most games for 2 to 3, 4 months, and then bang, an injury happens. Maybe the theory this year is don't let him stretch his legs, don't let him play frequently until near the end of the year, so that if you get 2 to 3.
Hold on.
Here's what I'm trying to get at. To win the championship, he has to play 2 straight months. Essentially without being injured in the playoffs. Like, that's what it requires.
Yeah.
And maybe their thing is, we're going to try to avoid having him play 7 out of 10 games at any point until right before the playoffs. James, do you buy that?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Like, why not? What they have done so far has not worked. Every single year, like, I get the first game thing, and I understand why people get upset about that. And it was a bad look, and the way they handled it as an organization was a disgrace, as we've talked about.
Correct.
But in terms of, like, the actual plan for Embiid, like, why not try something different? Nothing has worked. Like, you're acting, he's older now. Yeah, like, John, do you expect him to play more games?
That's his job, to go play.
John, but that's silly, dude. That's silly.
He can play less. The thing that still doesn't make sense to me is they can play him less and they can alter all these things, but I still don't think it would ever make sense to not play on opening day.
I agree.
Can't believe
I agree
that.
Something
wrong. I cannot get over like, that. Can't tell me there's nothing wrong. He's not playing. It's opening day.
And I think that they can say, like, he's not injured to the point that, like, there's nothing that's, like, structurally there that's different or anything like that. There could just be some inflammation or some things where it's like, hey, now throughout Joel's regular season, if there's any type of, like, soreness, we are shutting him down to hold this thing as good as possible. Like, that would make sense to me. But the idea that, like, hey, we're going to play him less in the regular season, so before he's even played a single game, we're not going to play him. I don't know how that rationalizes out.
So here's what worries me the most, Jason, is, and we talked about this extensively yesterday, that it's not so much that a new injury occurred, that it's just there's a debilitating situation that is just going to be what it's going to be moving forward, and they're trying to manage it. And I want to play some audio. Yesterday, we had Mike Quick on the show, obviously one of the most truly great Philadelphia athletes of the 1980s. But as time went on, his career became lesser and lesser and lesser effective because his knees just couldn't hold up. Chase Utley had the same thing. By the way, in pro basketball, Anthony Hardaway had it, Grant Hill had it, different injuries, but like you just weren't the same player anymore. Tons of players. All right. Yep. So, and by the way, Jay Ajayi is another one. It's a lesser level.
Yeah, it's a great example.
Jay Ajayi was a hell of a running back, and he was done by about the age of 27 or something, which was really a shame.
It's one of the reasons we got him when we did, because everybody kind of knew there was kind of something that was eventually going to happen there.
A shelf life.
Brandon Roy, you mentioned.
Brandon Roy.
Classic. They knew it before he was drafted.
Right, that's right. So my fear is that maybe we've entered that zone with Joel. I hope not. We'll see. Let's listen to what Mike Quick said yesterday when we asked Mike about his own experience as an athlete back in the late 80s. For Joel, I'm just curious, what exactly was it? Was it a debilitating situation for you where it just got worse and worse and it's harder to answer the bell deeper into your career? Is that Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, you're just not the same guy. And I had really bad tendonitis in my knees and ended up having surgery on both knees for patellar tendonitis. It got to the point where I actually had to have surgery. And I don't know his case, but I know that once you start to have issues in those areas, you don't have the same legs, you don't have the same wheels, you can't spring as high, you can't go as quickly. It's just, I realized it was time for me to hang it up when guys would line up press coverage on me and they could get their hands on me and slow me up and take me off my route. When that started to happen, I was like, okay, it's I need to start thinking about something else.
Jason, did you feel that? Did you get to where you actually felt like your play suffered? I know personally, my dad told me in a preseason game that he was embarrassed for me.
Wow.
My dad said...
It's a heck of a dad.
It's a wow right there.
Yeah. He said... You're the first person to ever say it, but we've all thought it.
Yeah. He said, I was embarrassed for the way that you played. You should be too. Like, wow,
it's like
dad.
It's like a Gerard Mayo, like head coach, you're soft.
But, don't be so soft. I can remember
a play where I was offset. They said, okay, here we ran it in practice. My job was just to stretch to the flat. And Brad Childress blew the play dead. Get back, reset, do it again, John. Get to the flat fast this time. I did. I mean,
I'm trying.
I did. I ran as fast as I could. Yeah. He blew it dead again and said, John, fast, stretch the flat. That's when I should have registered.
I got you.
Did you have a moment like that? Did you realize?
No.
Or maybe, because to my eye, it didn't look
all
like
pro
your
in your last
suffered.
Year. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but I will say, even though I don't think I had anything like that acutely like apparent that I was starting to get worse physically. But I knew, like, you know, when you're like one-on-one blocking somebody, the strength that you have, the hips, the explosion, you watch yourself on tape and you're like, I would have made that block earlier in my, so I think the player
I think that's
knows.
Rare though, that you were aware of that. I think that's rare.
Well, here's
my... usually guys get blindsided by this.
John, I think most, if I had a guess, I think you're in the minority on this.
Really?
I mean, if you just don't run as fast, don't you know?
No, yeah, if like not you, really. Guys who couldn't it's cover you before can
obvious.
Cover you.
It's not that obvious.
I mean, Jalen Hurts knows he can't turn the corner.
I was talking
Oh boy. Did I go there?
I was talking to
James. I think I went there.
Charles Barkley this offseason. I was like, how'd you know when it was time to hang it up? He's like, man, when you start playing guys that you know you should be kicking their and it's like, it just ain't happening.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's a pretty
I think
good
my
thing.
My concern for Joel is because I'm no expert on the knees, what do I know? But I just the meniscus thing. Yeah. It strikes me like that could be sapping some of his power. And that's not something I don't think you get back. Anyway, Mike said was interesting. And that's, it's because that's the sport of running, leaping, and landing.
It depends on
you
how
land
they dealt with
thousands
it,
of times a season, you land.
Remember,
and he's 7 foot two and 300 whatever pounds
two.
Or whatever.
We've heard all about that. And there have been these past few off seasons, we knew that there was like meniscal stuff. And then we knew that there was a scope, then we heard that there wasn't. And then we know that there are other things that they can do now, too.
Yeah, but you can't completely solve something if it's breaking
down.
Once
the cartilage starts to go,
that's the problem. Cartilage doesn't grow back.
I think that there's still, this is something that is, I don't know that it's fair to say that like this is like some debilitating thing like towards the end of somebody's career.
No, I agree.
Right?
But it might begin the process, right? I mean, it might.
Well,
it is, right?
Yeah. He's already having deterioration happen of the joint. In some type of way, that's why he's had the surgeries and things like that. But I think that a lot of basketball players go through this. He clearly has ongoing things where he's treating it and paying attention to like where it's at. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that. He's 30 years old. I mean, I know he's played for a long time, but he's still. I mean, that's young. Like even like you have to have some very severe damage at that age. To be that young and be kind of chronically done playing a sport like that.
So, look. All right, let's get a lot
to
of calls
be held
in
out
here.
Of the season opener.
Well, that too. 215. He might be like Doc Rivers.
Yeah,
he was in his 60s hobbling
this,
around.
I will say this.
It's like, a shame.
Now, the way sports science is, even if it is very something very, very minor and something that is just like soreness, they hold you out now. And especially with what they're trying to do with Joel to get him to play the best that he can the entire season in the postseason, I could see, like, you know, maybe it's not even something that's registering as, like, a specific acute thing. It could just be, like, sometimes when things are hurt or things are off, your whole body is just kind of, like, fatigued from having to deal with that. So, like, I don't want to, like, you know, I think that in general it's probably something very minor.